this time, it is my prayer that the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, the hearing and understanding of those present would be acceptable in your sight now and forevermore. Amen. Every week, usually Saturday evening, Robin asks me a question. In preparing for our Sunday service, I ask her to pick the hymns that we're going to sing, and she asks me, what are you going to preach about? Sometimes I don't know, because it's only Saturday evening, but usually I can tell her, oh, I'm going to preach about Jesus. That seems to be a very generic answer. Did you ever notice that in Sunday school, just about every question that's asked can be Jesus? But today, I'm actually going to preach about Jesus. If you look in your bulletins, you'll see that's even the name of the message, is Jesus. Because we've been talking through our Advent season about the different names that Jesus was called, particularly at the beginning of the book of Matthew. We talked about the fact that he is the son of Abraham and the son of David, which makes him the king. And we talked about the fact that he is Emmanuel, God with us. And we talked about the fact that he is the Christ, the Messiah. And today we're talking about his name being Jesus. Does anybody have a guess as to what Jesus' name is? I'll give you a clue. It's not Jesus. Did you know that? Did you know that Jesus' name isn't Jesus? Jesus is the Greek name that he had. His Hebrew name was Yeshua or Joshua. And I really don't know why we always call him Jesus. We've got some friends who don't. Anytime you're talking about Jesus, they'll, Yeshua. He got tired of correcting us, so he just calls him Yeshua and lets us call him Jesus. We're just used to it. I think I tried for a while changing it myself, but it's just too hard to get used to changing somebody's name. But the name Yeshua means the Lord saves. The Lord saves. I listed as our scripture lesson today the entire book of Joshua in the Old Testament. I'm not going to read it. I'm not going to read it all. I would encourage you to read it, though, because I'm going to particularly if you're not familiar with Joshua in the Old Testament, he's really an interesting character who had the name that Jesus had before Jesus took it. And he's often seen as, you know, I talk sometimes about types and shadows. There are things in the Old Testament that are meant to look forward to things in the New Testament, particularly prophecies and such. But the whole life of Joshua very much represents, very much shadows the life of Jesus. Very much so. Does anyone know how Joshua started out? You know, we know in the book of Joshua, he took over from Moses. When Moses died, Joshua took over leading Israel, and he's the one that led Israel actually across the Jordan River into the Promised Land. And for about, I think, 30 years, 25 or 30 years, he led Israel in their conquest, the conquests in the Promised Land. He started out as one of Moses' servants. And when finally Moses died and he was put in charge of leading Israel on this military campaign, he was 85 years old. 85 years old. And God still had 25 years of work for him to do. But back early in the story, very shortly after Israel left Egypt and was going into the Promised Land, Joshua was also one of the spies that was sent out when he was still a young man. Let's see, 85 minus 40 would be 45. So he was younger than me. He was one of the spies sent into Israel, sent into the Promised Land to scout it out. And when they came back and reported to Moses, everybody else was saying, the land is full of giants. We'll perish. They'll defeat us. But Joshua was the one who said, we can conquer them because the Lord is with us. He was the one who was faithful. Everybody else was unfaithful. And as a result of that, Israel had to wander around in the desert for 40 years. But Joshua had faith. Joshua is the one major character in the Bible, apart from Jesus himself, that we don't know how he screwed up. It's one of the things I like about a lot of the characters in the Bible is they're all screw-ups like me. Maybe not in the same ways as I am, but if you look at all the stories in Scripture, everybody's a screw-up. Moses, who led Israel out of bondage in Egypt, he was a murderer. He had a short temper. He lost his temper. Not a perfect guy. Father Abraham, the father of many nations, was a coward. He was a liar. And sometimes he had really weak faith. David, the great king, was an adulterer. And to cover up his adultery, committed murder. Many of the prophets lost faith at various times. Didn't want to give the messages that God had for them. The Apostle Peter denied Christ. Everybody was flawed. But there are none of these sins attributed to Joshua. I'm sure he made mistakes because we all know that nobody is perfect. But nobody bothered to write Joshua's down. A lot of scholars believe that the book of Joshua was written by Joshua himself. So, of course, he wouldn't write those things down, maybe. But if we look at the whole history of Israel, and, well, we'll start with the name Joshua, the Lord saves. And I mentioned when I was talking about Emmanuel, that his name meant God with us, coming from that root El is God. Joshua, the beginning part, comes from the Lord. Yash is short for Yeshua, which is the I Am. So here we're talking about not the powerful God, as in, you know, God with us. Emmanuel is power, but the Lord. The one who takes care of us, the one who watches over us, the one who leads us. And he led his people across the Jordan River into the promised land, just as Jesus leads us into our promised land, our land of faith. You see, some people will think that Israel is meant to represent heaven, the paradise that we have to look forward to someday, but it actually represents the Christian life for us, which we can refer to as certainly as the kingdom of heaven, but it's heaven here on earth. It's our lives of faith. And as we look at the history of Israel, we'll see that there are some events that took place then that are very much like things that might be going on in our lives or in the lives of a church. It's all this foreshadowing of the future. And Joshua led his people to freedom, just as Jesus led us to freedom, freedom from our sins. A salvation in this world. We as Christians live our lives in this promised land, a land of faith, a land where God watches over us, his people. He has taken us out of slavery and given us this freedom, this land of milk and honey. And sometimes we need to fight. Sometimes we struggle. Sometimes we make mistakes. We have cities to conquer in our lives. But we can't do it on our own. The first great battle that Joshua led was against the city of Jericho, a great walled city. We probably remember stories from Sunday school about how Joshua took the priests and everybody marched around the city walls, and they blew the trumpet. And after 7 days, they walked around the city 7 times and blew the trumpet, and the walls fell down. And then we grew up and we thought, that's just ridiculous. Well, God had his hand in that. If we look back on our lives, do we not see battles that we have fought? Do we not see struggles that we have overcome with God's help? And maybe we can look back at those struggles and see how we got through it and say, isn't that ridiculous? How did that happen? And then we remember that God had his hands on it. For me personally, when I was young, I had a lot of questions that nobody around me could answer. And some of my questions were pretty stupid. My mom can tell you that. Some of them really didn't make much sense. And nothing that people were explaining to me, the way people were explaining to me, they just didn't make sense. They weren't answers that made any sense to me. Questions I had about God, questions I had about faith and overcoming certain obstacles in faith. None of it made sense. And then finally, one day, somebody was able to explain it to me very clearly. I was taken to a Christian youth crusade rally in Murraysville, and the preacher who was preaching there that week answered my questions, and that was about all he did, was he just kind of stood up and answered every question I had, and it made sense. And he kind of had to do it that week because I wasn't going to go back otherwise, because my good Christian friends who took me to this thing told me we were going bowling. They fibbed. They said, hey, we're going bowling. Why don't you come with us? Okay, I'll go. Saturday night, I have nothing else to do. If I'd known we were going to a youth rally, I would not have gone. I forgive them. But if I had not gotten the answers that night, I probably would have ignored any further attempts. God had his hand in that. That was a miracle. God knew exactly what I needed and he delivered. And that's probably happened in your lives as well. I don't know your individual stories, but I'm sure you're thinking of that event. You're thinking of that thing, that struggle that you had that God had his hand on. And you just know he was there watching out for you, leading you in the battle. When Joshua led Israel, and we're not talking about a small group of people. This was millions of people walking across the desert, millions of people walking into this land that was already occupied. They came to conquer, and sometimes they stumbled. They didn't win every battle because sometimes someone was unfaithful. Sometimes someone didn't follow directions. You see, in many of the places that they went, God told them to destroy everything, to kill everyone and destroy everything. And every once in a while, somebody wouldn't pay attention to that, and they would take something for themselves, and then they would suffer. In our struggles, and in our battles, and in our conquests, sometimes we make those same mistakes. Sometimes we'll take credit for something that we know perfectly well we couldn't have done. It was God. How much do we need to do other than be faithful? How much do we really need to do other than what we're told? Granted, that's sometimes very hard because it doesn't make sense. I don't know how much sense it made to anybody while they were walking around the walls of Jericho. How much sense did that make to them? I mean, this is how we're going to win? And then it happens. The beautiful thing is the victory was assured before. This man leading them, the Lord saves. Just as the man who leads us is called the Lord saves. All we have to do is follow. All we have to do is do what we're told. And that's hard. That's hard sometimes because it doesn't make sense. Sometimes it doesn't make sense. But through that, we can be a blessing. And through that, we ourselves are blessed. And through that, the kingdom prospers. Battles are won. We are victorious by just being faithful, by just doing what God tells us to do. We win the victory in a battle that's already won. He wins the battles for us. It wasn't a bunch of guys blowing trumpets that knocked down the walls of Jericho. It was God. It wasn't a little shepherd boy that slew the giant Goliath. It was God. It wasn't some man that was nailed onto a cross that took away our sins. It was God. The Lord saves. He does indeed. Amen.
This program has been copyrighted under the Creative Commons Attributes Non-Commercial Share Alike License. For additional information about Faith Community Christian Church or to contact Pastor Colin, please visit our website at www.faithc3.org.
The benediction is the good and final word, and we put that at the end so you don't miss what came in front of it. And our good and final word for today is Yeshua, the Lord saves. Has it come to mind for you that event in your life that didn't make any sense, that victory that you had? You know, we've looked at Jesus as the King. We've looked at him as the Son of God. We've looked at him as our priest. And now we look at him as a leader. Sometimes we forget that. Sometimes we forget that. He is a leader also. He is a general, for lack of a better term. Maybe not in the kind of army that goes out and fights wars like we see all across the world today, but fighting our battles for us, the battles we have in our lives, the war against sin, the war against those things that we don't want to do. He's there with us. He is leading us through it, and all we have to do is follow. It's hard, but then again, it's easy. Easier than trying to do it on our own. This service is over. Your service may now begin. And if I don't see you Christmas Eve, Merry Christmas, and we'll see you later. Amen.